Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You could have chosen to be anywhere else, but you came to church. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it is awesome. Did anyone not get a hug? Just give me a wave if you did not get a hug. Hey, that guy didn't get a hug in the hat. Somebody give that boy a hug. Everybody needs a hug. Do you know what the psychologists say? That we as humans, we need 9 actions of affection every day to feel loved. And that's just like a compliment, a hug, a call, a card in the mail, a little pat on the back. Right? If you're married, a little pinch on the bottom. If you're married, I said. And, you know, because this world is so lacking in the God kind of love, you know, that's got no strings attached. It's unconditional love. And when you come into the house of God, the most wonderful thing is you will receive unconditional love. And that's why wherever I go, I always, you know, ask everyone to give somebody a hug, because do you know what? It could be the very first hug like 50% of you have had today. Okay, so let me know. Raise your hand if that hug was the first hug you had today. Oh my God, give that boy a second hug. He's got the t-shirt on with the tongue coming out, the Rolling Stones, oh my goodness, give that boy 3 hugs and a free coffee. Pastor Leanne, I am honored to be back here. I'm pretty sure I have been here before. I'm not sure. I'm blonde and I'm 64, so I don't know where I am most of the time, but I know I'm here. And Pastor Matt and Michaela, you are the bomb.com. I love you. Everything you're sharing has been amazing this morning and tonight. I have to say, I loved it when you said about the cups, how many of those cups you've got at home. That sort of thing, that sort of picking up repetitive free gifts, are they free?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, when our son Joe was like maybe 8, between 8 and 10, okay, he went up on every Salvation altar call. Right, trust me, he needed it, but later. And we had you get those nice new, the Book of John or something, and they've all got different pictures and everything through them. And after he had about 9 or 10 of them in his bedroom, Phil and I said to him, Joe, you've got to take them back. You only need one, and you have to stop taking the freebie things home. That's a PK for sure. But how amazing. This morning, the woman that he's about to marry, Christine knew, she brought her mum and dad to church. They loved it. They loved it. They were sitting in the front here, and it's just amazing. You know, I want to tell you something. Never give up on your family. Never give up believing. Never give up on loving unconditionally. You know, some of you kids come from homes where, you know, you weren't raised a Christian. In fact, you know, you might come from several, you know, blended families. Some of you parents, you know, you've only come to Christ recently, and some of your kids aren't in the house of God and they're off doing their own thing. Never, ever give up on your kids. Never give up believing God to see a miracle, because miracles are happening all the time. And so tonight, I'm just looking for the clock. There it is up there, 38 minutes, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10 seconds left. Tonight I'm staying in the same theme of the Holy Spirit as Pastor Phil started out this morning, but his is more a ragey message and mine is a bit more personal. Is that okay? And I've got a few stories that I want to share. But I'm so excited to see how so many of you are involved in the Vision Builders dinner and the giving, and to see the result of commitment so far. It just really thrilled me, and to know that so many of you are involved. And it reminded me, actually, as the offering was being received tonight, when you're talking about tithes and offerings, how that God is faithful to that seed sown in tithes and in offerings. And I'm just going to not go to my message tonight first, because I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to share this little bit. It's a personal story, but it's based on this scripture in Malachi. You know how we always use, when we are using the book of Malachi, we say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows and I'll rebuke the devourer and for your sake. And we preach out of that. But one day I thought, well, why not keep reading? And it goes on to say this. I'm going to paraphrase it and then read just one little bit of the actual scripture. It goes on to say, because every time we talk about tithes and offerings and when we come around to the Vision Builders thing, sometimes when we're talking about that, you feel a sort of a in the air. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh no, I'm not going to talk about tithes and offerings again. And I'll tell you what that attitude is that pops up in us, because there's a reason why that attitude pops up in us, and then there's something to do about it from the Word of God. And I'm going to share it with you right now. So it goes on to say, after, you know, all the promises, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and, you know, he won't destroy the fruit of your ground, and nor will your vine fall, you know, to bear, you know, it won't fall and you die on the field. It goes on to say this, verse 13. And the little heading here in my Bible is, the people complain harshly. That's the Christians. Let's say the Christians, okay. And in the mind of some of us, this is what we think. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, right, in your mind, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we keep his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up, and they even tempt God and go free. Here's the verse. This is awesome. Verse 16 of Malachi chapter 3. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. This is you. You're the faithful. I know you're the faithful. And the younger you start to be faithful in the giving of tithes and offerings, here's the promise that's coming to you. That's even, in my mind, greater, because, you know, as I said earlier, I'm 64 now, but when I came to Jesus, I was 18. And some of you are in this room tonight and you're 18, right? And it's a long road and you think, oh, you know, all that giving and all that serving and all that, where's it going to end up? And what are the promises? And look, when things go wrong, hey, and let me tell you, things are going to go wrong. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know what? Jesus never promised a perfect life. What he did promise was, I'll be with you. I'll be with you in all the bad days, the dark days, and I'll be with you if you let me when you're blessed. Right? Sometimes we forget God when we're blessed, not when we're down and out, but when we're blessed, that's like, oh, hey, look what I've got. Look what, you know, I'm successful. And we forget the Lord. But listen to this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Here it is. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And on the day that I make them, and on that day, I will make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So all your giving, all your committing in tithes and in offerings is in a book of remembrance. How cool is that? It's in a book of remembrance so that God's got a record. And when you hit a hard time, right? That seed is in the ground. And you can call the Lord to remembrance of the seed that has been sown in the ground. And even though it says in Malachi that I, the Lord, will rebuke the devourer, you've got to stand with him and you've got to rebuke that devourer. You've got to say, get off my seed, get off my harvest. As Pastor Matt said earlier today, you won't see that harvest immediately. Just keep sowing. Just keep praising God. Keep coming to the house. Keep singing. Keep jumping up and down. Keep praising him. Keep being in fellowship. Keep coming to the prayer meeting. Keep coming to youth camp. Keep serving in the kids' ministry. Oh my gosh, if I was in this church, I'd be serving in kids and volunteering at the youth camp. Because I know how the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us when we're in that away, retreaty place, and we're just, there's no distractions with family and school and you know, work. You come aside and the Holy Spirit can just come in real close and speak to us. So that's my introduction. And what do you think of the band tonight? Who's this cutie? If I was 14, I'd have a crush on him. You, Johnny? Johnny, be good. Johnny, be good. Johnny. Holy Spirit loves you. I don't know what you've been doing, but you've got a sweet anointing on you. And if you just keep following Jesus, keep praising him, keep singing and writing, and I don't know whether you write, but you're going to write songs. I mean, like really cool ones, like really funky ones. Are you a writer? Do you write? Just a little bit? Oh, that little bit's going to become a whole lot bigger. And do you know what, Johnny, tonight, when you hear this message and we come to the end of, you know, a bit where we're praying, I know you're on the, whatever that is, it's a guitar, but is it bass or rhythm or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside of you and help you to fulfill all the dreams that are in your heart. He knows. He's written the book about your life, and all those dreams, the Holy Spirit's going to blow on you and breathe on you, and those gifts are just going to begin to flourish and come forth, and you're going to find all your joy and contentment in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, well, are you ready tonight? What do we got here? We got the Breathe album. That's pretty cool. Who's here for the, who brought someone tonight? Did anyone bring someone tonight? You're here for the first time. You're new. You what? You brought that young man? You're a visitor? What? Come down here. What's your name? Oh my goodness. You're a visitor. This is so great. Hello. Welcome to church, young man. Have you ever been before? Are you shocked? Yes, you are. Don't worry, it's going to get worse. But you know what? It's no accident you're here tonight. You're meant to be here. So that, see that what's called? Breathe, so that the Holy Spirit can breathe on you. Breathe on you. Are you from a Christian family? No, neither was I. How cool is that? You're going to start the whole new thing for Jesus. You're that seed planted. If tonight you hear the word of God, and when I say for those who are here tonight who've never received Jesus into their life, you stick your hand up and come down. I'm going to pray for you. What's your name? Hunter. Hunter, Hunter, Johnny be good. I don't know, it's all happening tonight. Hunter, that's an amazing name. Well, the Holy Spirit brought you here tonight, so God bless you. Let's give him a big round of applause. You've got the album. You go and sit up there with your friends. The best friend you can be is someone who brings somebody to the house of God. Because, you know, I wouldn't be here tonight if somebody hadn't invited me to church. A lady who was a friend of a friend of these girls who were at art college with Pastor Phil. Well, he wasn't Pastor Phil, he was just Phil Pringle, the naughty artist. The mother rang us back and said, I know some people who can really help you. See, okay, this message tonight is about the Holy Spirit being our helper. that he is the called alongside one. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. But if we are asking the Holy Spirit to help us help others, he will do that. And, you know, Pastor Leanne asked me to share this message because, you know, I was in seeking the Lord before presence, and I knew all these great speakers were going to be there, just like that lady said this morning. Where is she? Rachel. She was freaking out because this morning she found out through a text message that she was going to be receiving the tithes this morning in front of Pastor Phil and I. So, hey, it's all relative. Yeah. So anyway, I'm like, I've got this session, which I didn't think I was going to have. And I'm like, oh, I'm in prayer. I'm like, Lord, just give me a same thing, same prayer. The Lord's heard it a million times. He must yawn now. When we say, I want to be famous, I want to just impress all the other speakers, and Lord, just let lightning come down from heaven and let the fire of tongue be on my head. When I just get up, let me float up and let me look, you know, 60 pounds lighter, and Lord, just let there be no wrinkles on my face on that massive big screen. And the Lord said to me, Chris, whenever the Lord says your name, you know you're in trouble. If he says, Chris, you're really in trouble if he says it twice. Okay, so he said to me, do you want to impress people or help them? Oh. You know, I'm only 5'3", but he cut me down to size. And I said, you know, it's my desire to help people. So I think way back then, that little woman was listening to a phone conversation between her daughter and Phil, my boyfriend at the time. She put us in contact. She heard and she said, who was that? Oh, it's a friend at art school. He's freaking out. He's got all these demon things happening, him and his girlfriend. And she rang the pastor, and the pastor rang us, right? And we got that, and that little lady was standing on the steps of that hall on the 8th of August, 1971. Wow. And she was the door. She was the helper, right? She listened to the Holy Spirit who came alongside her. She didn't just go, oh, well, Lord, get them to church. No, she said, be here, I will meet you. What will you be wearing? I was like, well, black with long hair, and my boyfriend's got a beard and long hair. And anyway, she knew it was us because we looked like aliens. It was a conservative Assembly of God church. Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not interested in our culture or our background or our color or our demographic or our education or our IQ. He's interested in us. He's interested in every single individual in this room tonight. He knows you. You're written on the palm of his hand, and he's just waiting for us to respond to him so that he can come alongside us and be alongside us, the paracletos, the quarterside, alongside one. So I want to share you a little story that is around this whole wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. This morning, Pastor Phil talked about the Holy Spirit as you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Like that little lady, she was a witness of Jesus. And you know what? She wasn't a mighty evangelist. She was a refined North Shore Christchurch woman. But she was obeying the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. God doesn't want you to be like Pastor Jürgen, or if you're a girl, Pastor Leanne, or Pastor Chiropractor and his beautiful wife, Michaela. He wants to anoint you and bring forth all the gifts and the goodness and the joy and the freedom in you. He wants to come into you and be your best friend. The Holy Spirit loves you, and he's here tonight to speak through you and to help you help others. Yes. See? And that's that little book of Pastor Phil's, the parable of the dog. Yeah. Like, we get saved. Salvation's the door. But when we surrender our whole life to Jesus, he's Lord. And so when he says, do this, we do it. Like our little puppy. Once he was trained, we just go, sit. And put his food out in the bowl, and he just sits. One day, we put the food out, it was down there, and I went away to do housework or something, and an hour later I came back and he was still sitting there waiting for me to go. I know, that's a bit sad, isn't it? But he's a lovely puppy and he loves me, and his name's Piper, and he's in that book. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with, but somebody needed to hear that tonight. My puppy doesn't hoof down his food. He waits for the alpha male or female to go ahead. Isn't that wonderful? And that's obedience. When we surrender to Jesus and allow the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to be our guide and to pray that prayer every day, Lord, how can I help you? How can I help you is the most powerful prayer that you can pray at any age, at any profession, whatever. How can I help you today, Lord? Oh my goodness, he'll guide you. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this year started. It was pretty cool. I turned 64, and that was pretty cool. And you know, before I turned 64, Joe and Christine got engaged. And for those of you who didn't meet her, there she is. Isn't she glorious? I'm like, thank God she's got long, skinny legs. At last, we'll have Elle McPherson grandchildren legs. Because she's adorable. And that's our son, Joe. Isn't he gorgeous? And then, that was in January. And then I turned 64, and this is what I bought myself. Right? Okay. At Christmas, you know how you have a Santa list? I had a little one just for my grandsons. I have two grandsons in Sydney to our daughter and husband. They are 10 and 8. And Sonny asked what I wanted. And I said, well, I want a pair of roller skates. And everybody laughed but Sonny. And he went, Nana, that's so cool. But I didn't get them. So before my birthday, I went into the, sports shop. And there they were, size 9 or whatever it was, white with nice pink wheels, and I got them home and I put them on in the kitchen. Phil was away, and my dog, Piper, the obedient one, barked and barked and barked. I'm like, sit. No. He barked and barked. I looked down and they were flashing. They were disco skates. So every time you moved, the sides of them lit up, and that's what he was freaking out about. Now he's used to them. And so, isn't that cool? I'm older, but I'm not old. I know some 16-year-olds who are old, right? Jesus and the Holy Spirit will keep you young and fresh and flourishing if you let him. You know, Pastor Phil was saying that one of the global epidemics right now is depression, and kids are on pills and everything from an early age. Even at preschool, they're on, the quiet me down drugs. Hey, you know what? I think we should just confiscate every iPad and iPhone and turn off every television and go outside and climb a tree with our kids, get out in the fresh air and run along the beach and have a scavenger hunt for crabs and whatnot. Right? Read stories. Make up plays. Cook. Clean up your room. That'll get rid of your depression. That's helping someone tonight. Sorry, young man. Somebody in my family, not one of my children, but somebody in my extended family, her mother told me that she moved this particular daughter from one room to another because she refused to pick up the mess. Now, come on, children, help your mother. And the Holy Spirit will bless you with a double anointing. Clean your room up. Oh, that's not in my notes either. Anyway. So that's really cool. Let's read a scripture, right? Because we're in church. John 14:16, right? I'm going to start to just do a little bit, show you a little, unravel the scriptures a wee bit about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So this is after Jesus was going back to glory. I'm going to give you another helper the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby to be with you forever. Not just when you're good, not just when you're bad, but forever. The relationship we start on earth with the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, I want him to recognize me and I him when I get to glory. If he appeared before me in a vision, I'd faint for sure, but I'd want to sense him and know that he's near. And even though I've never seen him physically, my husband has on an altar call, I know when he comes near to me. I know when he's tapping me on the shoulder. I know when I'm to stop something. I know when I'm to go somewhere. I know when I'm not meant to do something. So strange, so amazing. At the beginning of the year, not knowing what was happening, this is on New Year's Eve, we have our dream service, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, this year, that's this year, 2017, it's okay for you to say no. I wrote it down. It's okay for you to say no. So I bring every invitation and whatnot to prayer. And there was one really, really, one I just could go to and I wanted to go to. I so desperately wanted to go to be impressive. No green light. And then, as things happened, after these marvelous things that happened, I understood why the Lord had wanted me to be where I was meant to be. So this wonderful, wonderful helper is the para from close beside the Kaleo to make a call. So the Holy Spirit is here when he has lordship of our lives. He's like a legal advocate who makes the right judgment, being close enough to the situation. He's closer to the situation than we realize. Because you see, he's eternal. He sees out there before we get there. That's the amazing thing about God. He's the original time traveler. He knows what's out there. And so when he speaks to us here, or do something, he knows what's up here. It could be a week away, it could be months away, it could be years away, but he knows. And if we walk in his will, we're going to be walking in his will. And we're going to be happy. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy, filled with purpose and destiny if we do what he asks us to do. So, in December, this is before the engagement and everything with Joe and Christine coming home for Christmas. Right, and I was preparing. We had, you know what it's like. It's mad in church. Christmas productions, graduations, organizing Christmas lunches, dinners, people living in, you know, what do you call it? House guests, sorry. You know, my new daughter-in-law to come who'd never stay with me. You know, I wanted her to have great sheets, good towels, you know, the whole mum thing. So I'm in the middle of this. Like, I've got this clean sweep before everyone arrives and with all the Christmas things, I get a call from my nephew, Andrew, my sister's son, and he never asks, you know, he's a very self-contained chap. He rang and he said, Auntie Chrissy, would it be possible for you to go home and check on Mum? That's my sister, Helen. And on the inside of me, I was like, oh, bummer. This is just such the worst time for me. But immediately, tap, 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 tap. And I said, I'll go. I didn't even know where I could. I mean, I knew I could. But I just booked a flight and I went home. And when I saw her, I'll just give you a little bit of really big background. On the week I turned 50, it's a long time ago, I'm 64 now, she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And she wasn't saved, and neither was her husband, David. And it was one of those walking with her through surgery and radiotherapy and the doctor's, you know, prognosis that she was going to die, the tumor was still there, but she just kept living. And in the midst of that, she and her husband, David, became Christians. Like, not a dramatic lightning and everything. They found Christ in a little sort of Anglican-y United church near where they live, where Helen could walk to and from. It was just an absolute miracle, right? So for 14 years, she was cancer-free. Her own oncologist, a very famous oncologist, Chris O'Brien, was diagnosed with the same glioma in the brain, and he died after 11 months. So Helen was a miracle. And in those years, she traveled the world. She went to England. She did this. She did that. She visited friends. She stayed with us. She went all around the world with David while she had that window. Never, if you have a window of opportunity, and when the green light, do it. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today if that's what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. It's very, very important that we listen to that chord alongside one. I get there. The moment I saw her, I knew what she needed. She needed me to be there. She could hardly walk. She could hardly talk. I just helped her. She could talk sometimes, but I just cooked, cleaned, shopped, washed, made her look beautiful with lipstick. Here's a picture of her with a puppy. And I chose matching outfits for her. Look, she's got a little cancer thing. She supported everything. She even learned to drive the children's train at the children's park because she'd always wanted a train set, and our mum would never let her because she said it was too boyish. So David said, how about this? And it was only, sorry, I shouldn't laugh. About 6 months before this, she derailed the train and... only into a garden, and just a couple of children cried, but no injury. So she lost her license, which she was very upset about. So, and we had this great time together. Now, remember that this is our sister. Okay, let me just, it's all about timing and whether you are prepared to wait until it's the perfect timing for the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do in your a family member or your sister or your mother or your brother or your mean old, whatever, whoever, right? For years, she would come to meetings like this and just look like thunder. She came to a women's conference one year, Pastor Leanne, and she had friends, older friends in a connect group who she went to that connect group. And at the end of the altar call, she was brought out the front. And I'm crying. I'm like, oh, Bernie, my sister's gotten saved. This is way before she had cancer. And they're like, it's right arm on the front row, right? She turned around on the altar call and in a big, loud voice said, so, are you satisfied now? She wasn't saved at all. She'd been pushed out. It wasn't her timing. But when it was her timing, just keep loving. Just keep loving unconditionally those family members you just want to thump on the head with a brick. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. He's well able to change the worst of the worst of the worst. You could be sitting here tonight thinking, you don't know what I've done and where I've been in my past. Do you know what? I don't have to. The Holy Spirit, he loves you anyway. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he doesn't care what you've done or where you've been. He just wants you to come to him, to the foot of the cross, and then he can send the Holy Spirit to come alongside you. So we were there, and I was telling Pastor Matt that we were trying to get her from A to B one time. We dropped her. She even got a big graze on her nose. I forgot to tell you that. And she couldn't say much, but she just looked at me with those eyes like, and I'm like, that's the last time I'm dropping her. We both put our backs out. So it's pretty good tonight. I must be, Holy Spirit must be anointing my back. And anyway, so I got a doctor to come and assess her. And he said, into the hospital tonight. See, we don't know what is up ahead for others if our prayer is that we want to help others. Would you drop whatever it is that you so want to do to be with someone whom the Holy Spirit needs you to be with? For that window, it's a window. Jesus at the well. What if he had said, oh, I'll come into town. I'll get, we'll get food together. But he heard the Holy Spirit. He sat on that well for one woman. One woman. And that woman, the woman from Samaria, was transformed in that, with that conversation with Jesus, the loving, kind, to the point Jesus. She runs in, come meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? The whole village, the whole town of Samaria had revival. Your obedience, on the other side of your obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who knows what that could be? The salvation of somebody who could be turning the world upside down. I always think of May Hancock and I go, May, if you had never bothered to call us, we'd probably be dead. A lot of our friends were dead, are dead, because of drugs and heroin and stuff. But for somebody that stood in the gap, changed our destiny. And you can do the same for someone. We got Helen into hospital, and here's a picture of her and I having, I was actually leaving once she was in hospital. I did have to go home, and there I am having her last hug. And look, see the little, you can't see it, but I bought her a little, she wasn't allowed her puppy dog in hospital, so I bought her a little cuddly puppy, sort of the colour of her little penny puppy, and she had that in her hand when I left. Isn't that beautiful? Max Licardo writes this: if today were your last, would you do what you're doing? Or would you love more, give more, forgive more? Then do so. Forgive and give as if it were your last opportunity. Love like there's no tomorrow, and if tomorrow comes, love again. So I went home. Christmas, church, New Year's Eve, Joe's and Christine's engagement. And on the 6th of January, 3 days after that engagement, I got a call from David that Helen had passed quietly into eternity in her sleep. She caught the midnight train to glory. She went to sleep and woke up in glory. And I just want to leave you with this last picture of her on her last walk before she couldn't walk too good, as she's walking in New Zealand there. Dave rang, when he rang me, he said, would you do her funeral? And I said, I'd be honoured. So we went home and bid her farewell. I had the funniest funeral ever. It was so beautiful and personal and everything. And all her local church came. They're all like women of like, and men of, I'm going to say 65 plus, but that seems so young when my husband just turned 65. So, you know, 60s up. They were all there and it was wonderful. Ralph Emerson wrote this: you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. You never know. Philippians chapter 2 says this: is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. The whole band can come up, actually. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. How beautiful. This is the nature of the Holy Spirit. He's always looking out for you. He hears your prayer. He sees every tear that you drop, every tear that you try to suppress, right? Because of stuff, because of you feeling hurt or in pain. He sees it all. Be humble. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. As I said earlier, five of the most powerful words that you can utter daily or frequently are, how can I help you? How can I help you? Those words are a door into a person's heart. And that person may be just needing a little tender kindness. That miracle is in the kindness, in the helping we offer, with the called alongside one, the Holy Spirit. Before you blink and your life's a tendril of smoke, a memory, a vapor gone, know this, that you are where you are for such a time as this, not to make an impression, but to make a difference. We aren't here to one-up one another, but to help one another up. That's Anne Voskamp. She's a wonderful, wonderful author. I love this. Jesus, I'm going to repeat it from the Amplified Bible, the scripture I started with in John 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage I go away. For if I go away, the Helper will come to be in close fellowship with you. Well, let's stand to our feet tonight. I know that the mighty Holy Spirit is here to come alongside you. Whether you are young or older, He wants to come alongside your life and help you to be the best, the very best that you can be, without thinking you have to be like anybody else. That's the biggest trap on planet Earth. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint you for you to be the best that you can possibly be. He's going to come alongside you. He's the called alongside. He's your advocate. And if you're saying tonight, okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to come closer to me. I want you to come alongside and speak to me like in that still small voice, like you spoke to Pastor Chris, to do this or not to do that. If you're here tonight and you want you to just say that to the Holy Spirit tonight, I want you to just step out of your seat and come and stand onto the altar tonight, just as an acknowledgement that you are saying, Holy Spirit, come close to me. I want to be one of those helpers. I want to be a May Hancock. I want to be a Phil Pringle or a Chris Pringle. I want to be somebody that's really reaching out to others and not just interested in my own life. Because this is the big trap. iPhone, iPad, iMac, I whatever. Let's drop the I and let's lift our hands to heaven tonight and say, you, I give it all to you. Holy Spirit, come, draw close to me tonight. Come alongside me tonight. There are some of you, you have family situations that are desperate, and you are like, let me just say this, you can't do it in your own strength. You were never meant to do it in your own strength. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and be your advocate, to be the called alongside one tonight, to be your strength, to be your helper, to be your infiller. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, tonight, touch all these wonderful people, these wonderful young people, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, just begin to let that heavenly language float up out of your inner belly. Oh, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to strengthen you and to edify you in your most holy faith. Oh, we thank you for the wonderful Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're our helper. You're our helper. You are the true helper. You are the helper of the helpless. You are the father to the fatherless. And oh, Holy Spirit, I thank you tonight that you come alongside every believer. You come alongside every young person that's feeling a little lost tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you come alongside to be their advocate and to be their helper. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, a little earlier, I gave away a CD to Hunter. What a great name. But you could be like Hunter tonight and you've never asked Christ into your life. Or maybe once you did, but you've drifted away. So many young people and older people who have lost their way in Christendom are coming back through the doors of the house of God and finding renewal and restoration. From the youngest to the oldest tonight, just bow your heads for this moment, and I want to ask you this most important question. Do you know Jesus? Will you ask Him into your life tonight? Nobody else can answer this question for you. Not your spouse, not your mum, your dad, not your friends. Not the ones that say, you're not going down to that church, are you? Oh my gosh, you're going to become one of those Jesus freaks. You know, this is a decision between you and God and your destiny and your future. It is your choice. And the Holy Spirit tonight is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, come to Jesus. He's the one. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Come to Him tonight. Just while every head is bowed and eye is closed, I look across this auditorium. If you're saying that's me, Pastor Chris, I need to be included in that prayer that we're about to pray, just raise your hand. Raise it up high. God bless you. God bless you. I'm looking. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Where's that young man? Hunter. Yes. Yes. Let's all just lift our hands up to heaven. I know this could be a new thing. I had friends at church today. They come from a Calvary background, and they had their hands up this far. That's a beautiful thing, to worship the Lord. It's a sign of just yielding, really. It's not, look at me, my hands are up higher than yours. It's, I'm yielding. I'm yielding to you tonight. I'm giving you the reins of my life. I'm going to trust you. Teach me to trust you. So if you did raise your hand up for salvation, I want you to say, excuse me, those of you who are up in the seats, and come and stand down here. Come and stand down here. If you just make a way, well, I'm going to pray for all you people here for the Holy Spirit, a communal prayer. Just come and stand here, young men and women. Just come and stand here. Bring your friend. Where are those young men and women? Don't, come on. Did you raise your hand? Are you too shy? Yes? No? What? Oh, no, it wasn't you. Oh, do you know Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? Yeah, are you an obedient puppy dog? When the Lord says sit, do you? Oh, I'm so naughty. I've gone over time by 3 minutes, but that's all right. It's Sunday night. How marvelous, Hunter, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Before, like, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I don't know what your background is, but I grew up without a father. All my life, I searched for my father with drugs and seances, and because I wanted to know, you know, are you my father? When I became a Christian, the first time I prayed by myself, I didn't know what to say. And I thought, oh, I know the Lord's Prayer. And I went, Our Father. And then I thought, oh, I'd never called anyone father in my whole life. You know, uncle, whatever. And I went, I know it's not traditional because it is our father, but I went, my father. As I said, my father was like a well of loss or pain or longing burst up out of my innermost being, and I just cried and cried and worshiped. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And I feel for a long time, God's been chasing you to bring you into the house, and here you are tonight, Hunter. He has a wonderful plan for your life, and you are that seed, just as I was that seed for my family. Phil was the seed for his family, although he had had a mother who was a Christian, but she died when he was little too. He's going to be your Father, your Lord, and the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you and help you. And you've got all these amazing young adults to help you. How old are you, Hunter? Oh, you're 17. You're so big. What are you eating? 17. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't say this, but I was 17 when I fell in love with Phil at high school. Oh, my gosh. He was so cute. But let Jesus define your destiny. Don't run off with any chicky babe. We're not worth it. Jesus is worth your whole life. Jesus is worth your whole life. He's worth your whole life. Not just, you know, a little bit. All of it. Jesus is worth your whole life and your whole heart, your whole life. You know, in our country, if you're, if you, a family goes through a divorce or something, you have what's called visitation. Right? Do you have that? In New Zealand, a lot of my friends were broken families and they had visitation. Well, Jesus isn't wanting visitation. He's wanting full custody. Full custody. He's putting the bracelet around your ankle, right? And if you start wandering too far, this is for everyone tonight. Beep, 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 beep. You're drifting too far from home. come back, come to church, worship, learn to praise God and pray and read the Bible, the New Testament. Start there. Don't start in Zechariah or Ezekiel. You'll just get, you know, get a good, you'll be given a Bible tonight, actually. Everybody, read your Bible and just wait on a scripture. You don't have to try and be a big shot, although it would be good for you to go to Bible college, but, you know. But first of all, clean your room up. So help your mum. Put out the rubbish, you know. So we're all going to pray this prayer, but it's your special prayer tonight of asking Christ to come in to be Lord of your life. Amen. So let's just close our eyes. Let's say this simple prayer to him tonight. Father in heaven, I come to you tonight and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to wash me and cleanse me and make me your child. And help me follow you all the days of my life. I thank you tonight, Lord, that I am yours and I am saved. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a mighty hand of praise tonight. Jesus, thank you, Lord. How wonderful. Well, you're going to, somebody's standing with you at the end of service. Oh, no, that beautiful lady there's going to, yeah. You go with them? Oh, all right. They're not going to take you away into a truck or anything. They're just going to give you a Bible, pray for you, help you follow Jesus. Come on, let's close in prayer tonight. For those of you out the front, close your eyes. Just lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Oh, the stories that will come from tonight's service. The stories of obedience. The stories of doing something and the stories of not doing some things because of surrender to obedience to you tonight. We just love you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise, Jesus, tonight. We love you. We worship you. We just want to follow you all the days of our lives, Lord. We, each one of us, make a fresh commitment to hear your voice. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit, and just raise each one of us up to be a helper of somebody else, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus. We are not here to impress, but we are here to help you build the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.